Make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. To repent might still have a totally negative connotation for many of you. Yet in reality, it is positive. It is simply a change of heart going in the right direction. It is an opportunity to become reconciled to yourself, to your neighbor, and to the Lord. Now, this opportunity for reconciliation is offered in our Advent Reconciliation Service this week, Tuesday, here at the chapel at 7:30. The reconciliation, the opportunity for repentance, is an opportunity to receive forgiveness, to find peace of heart, healing of inner hurting memories. Repentance, reconciliation, can be seen as positive if we recognize that our life is simply a journey from birth until death. And this journey is like a line, a vector, gradually ascending as each of us grows in our maturing union with the risen Lord. We are on a lifetime journey, and that is not a smooth journey at all. It is not a straight line. Rather, it goes like this. We all have our ups and downs, but in general, the direction is the right one. Each of us has made what we call the fundamental option. Each of us has decided to make our decision to be in union with the risen Lord, and we are constantly on the way, on pilgrimage. But so often in our ups and downs, we fall by the wayside, and that we call by the word sin. The root word for sin simply means missing the mark. That's all it means. The goal that we have is total union with the Lord. That is the mark or the goal. And so often, we approach this whole concept of sin too legalistically. We act as if reconciliation were going to court, checking off our violations and receiving a fine. But if we see and understand this mystery correctly, we understand rather that God is our Father, that we are His sons and daughters. We keep trying all during our journey, but again and again we fail. And that means we should see and understand sin in a different light. To understand that the good God has given us life, that He has helped us all this while to become mature, to keep developing as true people, as persons, using the abilities and the talents and the time He has given us here on earth to become as much as possible what we ought to become, total, mature persons. Now, sin then is not being what we ought to be. Sin is not being what we ought to be. It is not being what our Father wants us to be. Sin occurs each time that we miss the mark. It is not being what we ought to be in relationship to the living God and to our brothers and to our sisters and to ourselves. What I keep wondering is, how did it ever happen that we became so negative in our attitude toward the Father, toward our Lord, and toward this whole concept of repentance and reconciliation? It began years ago in the Counter-Reformation when, unfortunately, God was described for us as being a kind of very sensitive, touchy, unpredictable kind of character. the sky. And God, we were told, was always prepared to send us into everlasting punishment for one single mortal sin. What's more, we were assured we could go on through our entire life, practicing all the virtues, honoring all the commandments, keeping all the rules, doing everything that we were told to do. And if we still did commit one single mortal sin in that last fleeting moment of life, we would be cast into hellfire forever. It was almost as if God were up there in heaven, eagerly awaiting the opportunity to record in his great big account books that one fatal, final mortal sin. And then he would exclaim with great glee as he put a check after your name, "I gotcha." Now, we don't have to be unfair to this extreme juridical approach to our religion, which is supposed to give us hope and strength. The people who taught us meant well, but they were trapped in cultural and social forces that they themselves simply could not understand. The extreme literalness with which they interpreted and destroyed the religious symbols seemed to them to be the only way in which to educate in the counter-Reformation church, of which they were a part. Many of us, however, fortunately, as we grew up, had sense enough to recognize that our God really is not a great bookkeeper, accountant in the sky, keeping double entry on our lives. The trouble is, when all has been said and done, we have inherited an incredibly narrow notion of the living God and of religious life, because it has imposed upon us in our own lifetime the same kind of narrow, rigid, legalistic approach to religion that Jesus himself fought tooth and nail when he discovered it in the scribes and Pharisees. Because this kind of rigid, legalistic religion turned the very words of Jesus against his own message of good news and healing. It reduced the religion that Jesus came to bring us simply to moral obligations. And ultimately, it stood the gospel, the good news, on its very head, upside down and inside out. And worse yet, it would be very foolish to think that this kind of double entry, bookkeeping in the sky approach to religion is safely behind us, that it no longer is with us. Unfortunately, the scribes and the Pharisees of the world did not vanish in the year 33. And if anything, the Catholic Church, up until about 15 years ago, was in the same kind of legalistic bind as Jesus found the synagogue world in when he came. And he came to bring liberation and freedom to the people held in captivity. Captivity in human rules. Now, a human religious life must be judged in its totality, not merely in terms of isolated incidents. That is what we mean by the fundamental option that each one of us Christian people takes, that we know we are going in the right direction toward the Lord. A human religious life must be judged in its totality and not merely in isolated incidents, the ups and downs that we call sin, as we pick ourselves up again to be healed and to go back in the right direction. And furthermore, the religion that Jesus gave us is not just keeping the rules. Rather, it is an orientation, a total turning of our whole personality toward other people, toward the living God, and toward all humans. It is not a matter of obedience to external rule. Jesus said that again and again in the good news of the gospel. Rather, religion is a matter of things of the heart. How often he would remind us, but we never quite caught on. And despite the good news that Jesus came to bring us, despite a couple thousand years of Christianity, this human propensity that we have to turn the living God into a bookkeeper, eagerly awaiting to trip us up, to turn us over to some kind of satanic internal revenue servant, it's very, very hard to exercise, to drive out that idea from the human personality. And why? I've often wondered why. The reason, I'm afraid, is that a God of wrath and a God of judgment and a God who is waiting to trip us up is the kind of God at least we can deal with. We can whittle him down to our own size. We can make deals with the kind of a God. We can say to him, I've kept all the rules. What more do you want? And the answer that comes from the living God is the same answer that he wants from every lover. He says, I want you. I don't want your obedience. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your burnt offerings. And those are the words of God spoken through the psalmist. The Lord wants us. And we go on erecting all kinds of vast, complex, legal structures or rules to keep the living God at bay. But it won't work. The Lord still wants us. He is the hound of heaven. He wants the same kind of generous, open, trusting love that he himself feels for us. And all the rule-keeping in the world is no substitute. A living God who really doesn't give a tinker's damn about our rules is far more difficult to deal with than a God who imposes all kinds of strict and minute rules and is then satisfied when they are kept. As we know deep in our heart, who wants to mess around with a living God? Far better to work through rules. Who wants to mess around with a living God? Now, the point of all this is not that we can toss out all the rules that guide and govern our lives. Rules do have a purpose to be served, but they are never to be confused with the essence of religion or with the essence of the living God. Human salvation, human liberation, freedom, does not ever come from keeping rules, but rather it comes from overcoming our insensitive, dull, obtuse spirit. And as we prepare for our reconciliation service this coming Tuesday, ask yourself, how much of our religion is still a matter of insensitive, dull, obtuse rule-keeping, of keeping the living God at bay, of trying to be secure against God by trying to work out a deal with him? Do we really want to go on preferring the great bookkeeper, accountant God in the sky? Or would we become mature enough to accept the passionately, passionately loving God, Father, Mother, that Jesus came to tell us about? That is the good news.